The holidays are all about sharing with family. Meals, couches, stories, grandma's secret pecan pie recipe. And now, you can also share a cart with Instacart's family carts. Everyone can add what they want to one group cart from wherever they are. So you don't have to go from room to room to find out who wants cranberry sauce, or who should get mini marshmallows for the yams, or collecting votes for sugar cookies versus shortbread. Just share a cart and then share the meals and the moments. Download the Instacart app and get delivery in as fast as 30 minutes. Plus, enjoy free delivery on your first three orders. Service fees and terms apply.
Ah, can't you see it? A glistening 100-megawatt solar field begging to be built? It's photovoltaic modules and balance of system powering a renewable energy tomorrow that's squeaky clean? We know that unless you have the right supplier, that world might just be a fantasy. But here at Graybar, with years of renewables experience, we live in that world. Get in touch to see for yourself.
We are now ready to depart.
Book your visit at graybar.com. Yep, Graybar does that.
Whatever the adventure, there's a BMW engineered to take it on. The X3 delivers a striking design with agile performance. The 100% electric i4 packed with pure electric energy. Or the plug-in hybrid X5, an impressive, versatile SUV granting full control on every journey. Choose what powers your next adventure during the BMW Road Home Sales Event. BMW, the ultimate driving machine. Hurry in for exceptional offers through January 2nd. Visit BMWUSA.com for details. It's better
over here. After investing billions to light up our network, T-Mobile is America's largest 5G network. Plus, right now, you can switch, keep your phone, and we'll pay it off up to $800. See how you can save on every plan versus Verizon and AT&T at T-Mobile.com/keep and switch.
Up to 4 lines via virtual prepaid card. Allow 15 days. Qualifying unlocked device credit service ported 90 plus days with device and eligible carrier and timely redemption required. Card has no cash access and expires in 6 months.
Worthy in motion.
It's like man coverage.
Mahomes rifles, touchdown!
Boom.
He hits Watson for the score.
Good play, boy.
Wilson, clean pocket.
Oh.
Intercepted.
Justin Reed.
Picked off by Justin Reed. He wisely takes a knee. And Pittsburgh turns it over. Back in there for KC. This is a 3rd and 5. Wilson under pressure.
Oh.
Wilson trying to get out of it. Cannot. Absorbs the sack. Kansas City gets there with Tershawn Wharton.
You know, that sucked, to be blunt.
It sure did. It sure did. And that reminded me of of that Ravens JV game all those years ago. Sean, don't call me Seth Meyers. Happy, merry day after Christmas, everybody. Happy holidays. Happy advanced new year. Although it doesn't feel so happy in a sporting sense today. It really doesn't. Starkey here till noon when we get you ready, starting then for Pitt's bowl game. Sean, how are you today? Merry Christmas.
Merry Christmas, Joe. I'm all right. I mean,
what was your best present?
I got a really big check for my mom. At this point, she just doesn't even...
Yeah,
money. To get gifts.
Money
yeah.
is good. I got this.
I also got a McDonald's gift card, so I'm going to utilize that quite
oh,
a bit.
Oh, beautiful. The biscuits are to die for, aren't they?
Have you had their holiday pie?
Yes, I have, and I like it.
10 out of 10.
Yeah, 10 out of 10. I got this nice golf vest. Do you see that?
Oh, that is nice.
Half jacket, half, I don't know what you'd call it, but it's unbelievable. I'm going to go test it out today by hitting indoors at Moon. Thank you very much. In the meantime, oh my God. And I... just now was triggered on the other time Tomlin said sucks at a news conference was after and during right before one of his other collapses. He said that after the Ravens JV team came here in 2020 and almost beat the Steelers on a Wednesday. Remember during the COVID year?
Yeah, that was McSorley played in that game, right? That was their quarterback?
Yes, he did. And it was a disaster, but the Steelers won the game. And I think somebody asked Tomlin something to the effect of, you know, what was the story of that game? And he shot back, us sucking. So we've come full circle here in many ways, I would argue. This isn't the first collapse under Mike Tomlin, is it? Can we officially call it a collapse? I mean, it's certainly getting there. If they don't win the division, it will have been a collapse. Yes. Yes, we can call it a collapse. Because not only do you include these three games, you include the ridiculous Browns game. You have to, Sean, do you not? That's part of it all.
Yeah, there's no doubt. And to your point, if they don't, you know, find a way to win the division, which seems unlikely, then you could definitely say it was a collapse. Now, would that be forgotten if they find a way to win a playoff
yes,
game?
Yes, it would. It would be. Blessed playoff game. Please. Please win a playoff game. But it still will have been a collapse as far as the division goes. So it's three in a row and four of six, and you can't get that Browns game back. But I'm not going to bore you with that this morning. I've been on that enough. Everybody gets mad at me when I say if you win that game against the Cleveland Browns, who haven't won since and have practically folded their franchise since that game, then you're not worrying so much about this. You'd still worry about it. Don't get me wrong. When you're outscored 30-3 in the past three first quarters and your coach says starts don't really matter, that's a concern. When you're outscored overall 90-43 in these games, 90-43, that's a concern. But here's what I want to get to right off the top. You know, last week, I won't say I gave the full pony pass because that would not be accurate, but I came close. You know, 2 weeks ago, you got hammered by a better team in the Eagles. That's just a better roster. But they're in the NFC, blah, 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 you know, all that. Last week, listen, you have three quarters of your secondary out, TJ Watt at half speed, no Pickens. You're just, and plus, the Ravens are coming off a real bye week and then the Giants. So two straight bye weeks and you're coming off, you know, a 15-round bout against the Eagles in which they knocked you out in the 15th round. I could kind of get last week, but this, and I know the Chiefs are the Chiefs, but they don't beat anybody like this season. They don't beat anybody like this. You were almost back to full health. You had Pickens back on the field, not running his route and causing an interception maybe. But the Chiefs don't beat teams. This was their largest margin of win for the whole season. And you know what it comes down to first for me is coaching. Chiefs were in the same boat as you in this game. They're coming off games. They went on the road to Cleveland. They actually won on the road in Cleveland, which is always a good idea, isn't it? To win on the road against a team that is prone to quitting? Yeah, that's good. You should beat that team. They did. They weren't great in that game, and Mahomes allegedly got hurt in that game. You know, they have a hard time convincing me that guy has a high ankle sprain. Then they played a tough game against Houston, and then they came here. Two road games out of three. In 11 days, just like the Steelers. So Andy Reid and Mike Tomlin and Steve Spagnuolo and Artie Smith had the same amount of prep time. And wow, what a grotesque coaching mismatch that was. What a coaching mismatch. With that short a time to prepare, man, you better get it moving in a hurry. Find your advantages and go with them. And you could just tell right from the start that the Chiefs were very well prepared in a short amount of time, and the Steelers were an absolute mess. Steve Spagnuolo knew exactly how to attack this offense. He knew how to attack those below-the-line tackles that the Steelers have. Their pass rush was unbelievable. Unbelievably well orchestrated. Even with, can you imagine if Chris Jones played in this game? He's arguably the best defensive player in all of football. He didn't play. Can you imagine if he did? I don't think the Steelers get a point. But they were so well orchestrated defensively, willing to give up, you know, a little bit of yards in the run game. Who cares? They knew how to confuse the Steelers, and the same with their offense, and maybe especially their offense. What a masterpiece by Andy Reid, who is, in my mind, indisputably the NFL's coach of the year. What a scheme they had, and a scheme it was. Guys running open right off the snap. Like it was, to me, that's the word that comes to mind. It was a scheme game from Andy Reid. I don't know whether it was the pre-snap motion, as Nate Burleson said on Netflix. It was misdirection running plays, like the one for a touchdown, where everybody follows Worthy. Coming around the end, and then Kelsey pulls, a guard pulls, beautiful misdirection, easy touchdown. Guys running open right off the snap. Best way to beat a pass rush is a short passing game, and who's better than that than Patrick Mahomes? Who's better ever? Who's better ever at that than Patrick Mahomes? And while I give him immense credit for the game he played, man, I think a lot of quarterbacks could have made those throws, don't you? Just guys running wide open against an utterly confused and embarrassing Steeler defense. That was a coaching game. Andy Reid, Steve Spagnuolo won that game before it ever started. And now you look at Mahomes' numbers, and you know what it reminds me of? Speaking of getting horrifically out-coached and out-schemed, is what Brady, Belichick, and the Patriots used to do to this outfit. You go back and you look at some of Tom Brady's numbers against the Steelers, especially in Foxborough. It's mind-blowing. It's like 28 touchdowns, no interceptions, never lost, things like that in Foxborough. Passer rating through the roof. Well, now you have Mahomes against the Steelers. And here's the thing, because the comeback from the apologists would be, well, Mahomes does this to everybody. Brady did that to everybody. Go look at Brady's numbers against this team, against Mike Tomlin's defenses, compared to every other one. And the only one that might be close is Buffalo, and they were bad every year of Brady's career, practically. Yes, Mahomes is great against everybody. He's not this kind of great. Check out these numbers. 4-0, completes 78% of his passes. In other words, he never misses. For an average of 327 yards per game, 17 touchdowns, one interception, and an average final score of 37-19. It's just, you can't keep a game close against him? I mean, really? You get out-coached that badly? And Mike Tomlin is big on starts don't matter. It's the end of the game, not the start. I'd love for the Steelers to test that theory by actually getting off to a good start against a good team. As I mentioned, they've been outscored 30-3 in the last three first quarters. 30-3, which speaks of what? You don't have to be like an X's and O's genius to know that that speaks to an unprepared football team against prepared football teams, period. I think you spend your whole week charting yourself to try to get off to a good start. Because the history of sports, whether it's a peewee soccer game or an NFL football game, is that the team that grabs an early lead usually wins. Not always. I kind of get what Tomlin's saying. I know. But you literally script your first how many plays if you're an NFL offensive coordinator. You literally prepare for Andy Reid scripting his first number of plays if you're a defensive coordinator, which Tomlin de facto wise is. And they got absolutely embarrassed on the coaching front. It's as big of a coaching mismatch as you'll see in the league this season, considering the time frame. Like, you were really going to have to get it together in a hurry for a good opponent. Well, a great opponent, I guess, if you're the Steelers. And if you're the Chiefs, it's looking more like you were getting ready for a mediocre opponent. I mean, this is just so disappointing, devastating even, to look like a JV outfit, as Tomlin admitted after the game, then to have your players, you know, spouting off after the game, not even spouting off, just saying, we don't know what the hell we're doing, is basically what they've said the last two games defensively. And again, last week, when you're missing three quarters of your secondary and Watt's compromised and Ogunjobi's out, you know, I sort of expect that against Michael Jordan, who is Lamar Jackson. This week, against an offense that hasn't scored 30, was that their high for the season? Did they score 29 even? No, they hadn't even. That was their high for the season, the Chiefs. And you got the feeling, and so did I, that they could have scored 50 if they wanted, right? I mean, Andy Reid was going to scheme people open against this harebrained operation as much and as long as he wanted. They could have done anything they wanted. Mahomes, 320 yards, three touchdowns, no picks, completed 76% of his passes. I guess that's down from what he normally does against the Steelers. And 127.1 rating. No pass rush to speak of whatsoever. Whatsoever. So just a disaster. A total embarrassment. And now you have to ask the question, are they going to win another game? Are they going to win another game? You're going to have the Bengals coming in here. If they beat Denver, they're going to have something to play for in that week, in the final weekend. 412-928-9370. 928-9370. Off the top, brought to you by JP Roofing and Siding. Fan Twitter, brought to you by South Hills Kia Peters Township. Visit them at southhillskia.net. The text line, brought to you by Edgar Snyder and Associates, a personal injury law firm, where they always say there's never a fee unless we get money for you. And of course, the six pack, brought to you by Bet365. I've been saying for probably 8 or 9 weeks that I am certainly not predicting the Steelers to get to the Super Bowl. But I have said consistently that, unlike in previous years, I think they have a better chance to win a playoff game, that they can hang with these teams, and it would take something dramatic to move me off that position. Something dramatic has happened. They just faced the best teams in the league, the most talented. And now you know, by the way, why everybody, even when the Ravens were two games behind the Steelers, were saying the Ravens are by far a bigger threat to get to the Super Bowl. It's because of their quarterback and their overall talent level. And by the way, they're playing very good defense at the moment. They made a coaching adjustment, a big coaching adjustment. When their defense stunk earlier this season, they brought in Dean Pease as a former coordinator, as a consultant. And who knows, maybe the coordinator, the working coordinator, I don't know how it works, the division of labor in Baltimore, but man, are they playing good defense right now. And that team, I mean, to me, it's looking like, unless they meet up before the AFC championship, which they could, the two best teams are Baltimore and Kansas City. And the Steelers are not in that class. Could they win a first round game? Could they get it together here with a break, whatever it is, 10, 11 days, I don't know what it is, and beat Cincinnati and put on a good performance? Yes, they could. Could they win a first round playoff game? I think they could. But that one and done is the ceiling on these Steelers, and I wouldn't even bet on that. The smart bet right now is none and done. And then we can have our annual Mike Tomlin conversation. They'll probably extend him by 10 years about whether, you know, a good coach is good enough to keep around. And national media people like Jason LaCanfora, like Michael Silver, like Rich Eisen will tell everybody, you're crazy. What are you people in Pittsburgh smoking? You have a miracle worker of a coach. A miracle worker. This guy gets to the playoffs with Mason Rudolph. This guy never has a losing season. But what about the other side of it is what I always wonder. And again, you know, it's back to Mike Tomlin and the inconvenient truth, because he's a guy that you want to love, that you do love. You watch him on Netflix. He's a character you fall in love with. Compelling character, great speaker, highly intelligent man, really good football coach. But is he still good for this franchise? That's the conversation we're going to be having. If they're one and done again, especially if they're non-competitive again, He's a good football coach. He's a likable character. Players love him. Media loves him. The camera loves him, as you found from Netflix. Good man, good coach. But then we have to contend with the inconvenient truth. And the inconvenient truth is that he never wins big games anymore. If by big game we mean playoff game, he literally never wins them anymore. It's not fun to talk about. In fact, it's very inconvenient because it doesn't fit the overall national narrative pushed by the Rich Eisens and Jay Glazers and Michael Silvers and Jason Lockenfors. That not only see, they think everybody in Pittsburgh's going overboard, and maybe some are, but they're actually the ones who I think maybe even do Tomlin a disservice by painting him as an all-time legend, miracle worker. Greatest coach ever. One of them. Who's better? I don't know. Somebody who didn't go 8 years without coming close to winning a playoff game, which is a distinct possibility here. And it's not just that. 9, 10, 11, 12, 13, 14. Three playoff wins. It'll be three playoff wins in 14 years. Just contemplate that for a minute. It would be three playoff wins in 14 years and none in eight. So I would ask Michael Silver and Jason Lockenfora and Rich Eisen and Jay Glazer, where's the miracle? You know, less than that, on a much lesser scale, where is a competitive playoff win? I mean, I'm sorry, a competitive playoff performance. Forget about a win for now. How about just competing in a playoff game? And I'll tell you, these last three outings do not inspire confidence that they're even going to be competitive in one. Is there a middle ground between the vitriol I see on social media, like Tomlin should be fired today, which is going overboard on that end, and the Tomlin is a legend and a miracle worker that those guys are pushing? Is there somewhere a middle ground where you have a coach that it's really hard to decide what you think in the end they should do? Because, you know, he could still win 11 games here. Who fires an 11-win coach who won double digits last year? On the other hand, what's the number that's too many years without even a competitive playoff game? If it's about to be eight, is it 10? That Jason Lockenfora says, is it 15? 20? Anybody for 20? Like, how many? And that's where the confusion comes in. There has to be a middle ground. Michael Silver wrote that piece a few weeks back when Tomlin was everybody's coach of the year. Not Andy Reid, but Tomlin. Not another guy, but Tomlin. And he was doing a good job at that point, but he had yet to really face the proving ground of his schedule. And at that point, Michael Silver wrote about Tomlin, everybody's writing about Tomlin, that when the criticism arises in Pittsburgh, people around the NFL just roll their eyes. It's the arrogance with which people defend Tomlin that I find to be really off-putting. Like, how dare you have a critical word to say about Mike Tomlin's track record? Guy raising his hand in the back. Okay, I don't mean this to sound critical, but can I say something to you guys? He's on the verge of not winning a playoff game in 8 years. He hasn't been competitive in a playoff game in 7 years. He's on the verge of having only won three playoff games in 14 years. And two of them were against A.J. McCarron and Matt Moore. I'm sorry. I'll sit back down in the back here and won't say another peep. I'm sorry if that sounded critical to the national media.
The thing that the national media says so often, Joe, is that this guy would get a job in, 5 minutes if he were to leave Pittsburgh, which might be true. But, like, we just saw Bill Belichick unable to get a job in the NFL after he had even more recent success than Tomlin did.
Yeah, I mean, let's look around the league and see who else would get a job in 5 minutes. You know, Andy Reid surely would. John Harbaugh would. Sean Payton's doing a nice job. John Harbaugh would. Dan Quinn appears to be doing. You think Dan Campbell would get a job in 5 minutes? You think Kevin O'Connell and his 13-2 Vikings, you think he would get a job? You think Matt LaFleur, an offensive whiz who's overseen the changing of the guard in Green Bay, losing a franchise quarterback and developing another one, sits here at 11-4. I'm gonna go out on a limb and say that Matt LaFleur would get a job in 5 minutes. Sean McVay, it goes without saying, would get a job in 5 minutes. So that's fine. And the discussion here is not, is Mike Tomlin a good football coach? He is. And he would get a job in 5 minutes. It's is he the right coach for here? And we have this discussion every year. We have this discussion every year. And again, I'll be the first to admit that I haven't said fire him. Really one time, I don't think, on this show or in print. Because he wins just enough to keep that off the table for me. There's still a decent chance. In fact, I think the Steelers still will beat Cincinnati. I do. And who fires an 11-win playoff coach? But then there's the inconvenient truth that we must deal with, Sean. And man, I mean, coming off a game like yesterday, you can understand why people are down on the coaching. Because that was a clinic on a short week. That was a clinic on both sides of the ball. And even special teams, I might add. They had a couple good returns. You can tell they were quick punting a couple times. They were prepared for the Steelers to try to make a special teams play, which the Steelers have done multiple times this year and in recent years under Danny Smith and Tomlin. The Chiefs are prepared for everything, man. You talk about taking care of the details. What a wonderfully coached team that is. Seriously, Steve Spagnuolo and that defense. They haven't scored 30 points once. You ever see the graphic they put up there, Sean?
They got to exactly 30 points earlier this season. So that was their high water mark. But I think what we heard after the game, and I'm sure we're going to hear some of these later, is Steelers players saying stuff that kind of indicated that maybe they're starting to wonder if they're coaches have them fully prepared.
You're right. Yeah, they haven't scored more than 30, and they haven't scored 30 in regulation. They haven't scored 30 points in regulation. Oh, yeah, they did once against Carolina. Does that count if you score 30 points?
Carolina's not a very good team.
So the graphic is more than 30. Teams that haven't scored more than 30 points this season, they throw up this graphic all the time. And it's like the dregs of the league, the Giants and teams like that. And the Chiefs are in there at 15-1. And by the way, as an aside, I've been saying for weeks that Andy Reid should be the runaway winner of Coach of the Year. And talking to some of the old-time legendary Steelers just reinforced that. Guys like Jack Ham, Mel Blunt, Joe Green I talked to this week about the idea of the Chiefs three-peating. You know, that was the topic. Would they surpass the 70 Steelers? But our conversations wound around to, man, even when you've won one Super Bowl that next season, you are the team that everybody circles. You get everybody's best shot, let alone when you've won two in a row and have played that much football. There is no team over the past 3 years, over the past 5 years, over the past 7 years that has ever played more football games than these Chiefs. No team has ever played more. And I know some of the names change, the roster changes a little bit. But you combine that, the pure physical toll that that takes, with the fact that you are everybody's biggest game of the year, everybody's biggest game. There's a giant target on your backs every week, and you navigate a season by going 15-1. There's never, in my mind, there has never been a more obvious case for Coach of the Year than what Andy Reid has this season. It's phenomenal what that team has done. And they're getting better. You want to add that to, you know, the case for Andy Reid as coach of the year, the mark of any good coach is their team gets better as the season goes along. Man, they didn't win one game by more than one score, and then they beat Cleveland 21-7. Okay, some teams do beat Cleveland on the road. Then they beat Houston by 8, which to them is a lot. And then they beat the Steelers by 19, and it could have been 39 if they wanted it to be. They're getting better. He is so easily the NFL's coach of the year that it boggles the mind. Dan Campbell, nice. Kevin O'Connell, nice. None of them are contending with what this guy is contending with. And they've had major injuries there, too. And, of course, they're getting healthy now. You saw what Hollywood Brown means to that team. Thanks to the Bills for giving the Chiefs Xavier Worthy. What were they doing in the draft when they moved spots with the Chiefs and gave them Worthy? Kelce looks like himself again. They don't need a running game, although they can probably have one if they want one, because Mahomes' short passing game is a de facto run game. I mean, it's depressing for the rest of the AFC. And I think the only other team, honestly, that can beat them is the Ravens. The Ravens right now look like a really good all-around team. They've gotten healthy on defense. As I said, they added a coach to their staff on defense, Kyle Hamilton. I picked him to be the defensive player of the year. He's not going to be that, but he's starting to play like one. And then Lamar is just, it's ridiculous with Derrick Henry. And now you look around and they've got weapons left and right. Mark Andrews, kind of like Kelce, is finding the fountain of youth a little bit. Those are the two best teams. I watch the Bills play every week. Their defense is an embarrassment. Not just bad, they're embarrassingly bad. Josh Allen could upset one of those other teams if he goes full Michael Jordan, you know, puts up 63 points, so to speak. And even that wasn't enough when Jordan played the Celtics, you'll remember. But Josh Allen, he could beat one of those teams single-handedly. But man, if you're talking who's getting to the Super Bowl out of the AFC, I would bet anything it's going to be Kansas City or Baltimore. Thoughts, Sean?
I still think Buffalo's in that conversation, but it's one of those things where it's hard to say.
Have you seen them play defense lately?
I have, yeah. I do think Allen, to your point, is good enough that he could be better than Mahomes or Lamar Jackson in any given game. That might be enough. The difficult thing is the fact that Kansas City now has that number one seed.
Exactly,
so if this is a situation where KC goes to Buffalo, yes, we've seen them do that. Maybe this would be the year that the Bills get over that hump, but having to win in Kansas City is going to be tough for anyone. You almost have to pick Kansas City until someone beats them, because how many times have we picked against them saying, well, they're finally, you know, they don't have Tyreek Hill this year, so they're not going to go the whole way. Patrick Mahomes is banged up this year. They're off to a rough start, because what were they, 9-6 last year, or I guess 10-7, whatever the record was. It was a mediocre regular season.
Yeah.
They keep overcoming things that it makes people look silly to pick against them. So it doesn't make any sense to pick against them until you know Patrick Mahomes is no longer on that team or out for a playoff game. I cannot pick against them.
I mean, you can just see it. You can see it. You could see it yesterday. They're the team that's getting healthy. Are you kidding me? They're going to be the most rested team. Are you kidding me? Steve Spagnuolo and Andy Reid can break down all these potential opponents they're going to have for 2 weeks. You got to go into Arrowhead again. The only thing I see beating them in the AFC is an all-time brilliant individual performance by either Josh Allen or Lamar. Save for that, the Chiefs are going to the Super Bowl again. It reminds me of the first day of the NFL season. I came in here and depressed everybody the next day because the Chiefs beat the Ravens. You remember that game?
Yeah, that was the the Ravens were out of bounds by 1 inch or whatever it was.
Yeah, I said, canceled the season. This is unbelievable. We're one game in, and I can already see that the Chiefs are going to win again. And I only half believed it was sort of a lark at the time. But, man, now? I mean, you got to go in there and you got to put them away. Kelce looks young again, for God's sakes. They looked great. Man, did you see their locker room after the game?
It almost feels like
they're not sick of winning. I can tell you that. They were pretty excited.
Do you have the feel that they kind of knew how to pace themselves throughout the entire regular
yes.
season?
Yes. And I've said that. The Penguins have been like that when they were winning in a championship team. I think there's for those kinds of teams, there's a clock that goes off at a certain time in the year when you say it's winning time. And until then, it's almost as if you know, yeah, we're trying, but you can't manufacture the stuff you need in the playoffs for an October game against the Raiders. You can't. We'll win by a field goal or lose by a field goal. We'll go 10 and whatever they were last year, 11-6. But when it's time, we know instinctively that it's time. Our body clocks know how to win championships, when to rev it up to make a run for a championship. I was always convinced those Penguins teams had that too. Like, all right, it's time now. Here we go. So yeah, I think that's a good point. 412-928-9370. 928-9370. Are the Steelers going to win again this season? And what about this collapse? This collapse that we're in the midst of, evoking horrible nightmares of 2020 when they completely fell apart and were embarrassed at home by Baker Mayfield. Kevin Stefanski wasn't even on the sidelines for that game, for God's sakes. It evokes memories of 2018 when the Steelers had a 2.5 game lead in the division with a month left and folded like a wet paper towel, signified or symbolized more than anything by Rosie Nix signaling first down when they were like 3 yards short on a fake punt, you remember. And Antonio Brown quit. That was an epic collapse that season. And of course, the legendary 2009 Unleash Hell season, where Tomlin promised the Steelers would unleash hell in December. Instead, they lost to, I don't remember, the Browns, the Chiefs, the Raiders. They lost 5 in a row and didn't make the playoffs. So many collapses, so little time. 928-9370. Six-pack brought to you by Bet365. Fan hotline presented by Sullivan Super Service, providing trusted plumbing and HVAC service for over 50 years. Or maybe there's some of you out there, and I wouldn't discount this either, that with time to rally the troops here and time to heal their bodies, the Steelers have one more little run left in them. Is that possible? They come out, they hammer Cincinnati at home and win a playoff game. Would that salvage it for you? Man, I think that would be a pretty good start for me to win a playoff game. I mean, in the end, losing the division, nobody, put it this way. Nobody in Cleveland remembers that the Browns lost the division in 2020, okay? Nobody remembers that. What they remember is coming to Pittsburgh and putting 48 on the Steelers and winning a playoff game, actually winning a playoff game. And while Mike Tomlin has been the star of Netflix for good reason, he's a compelling character. He really is. He flashes up on that screen. You know, the other three guys in the AFC North, the other three coaches, they flash up on the screen and you want to say cut and make them go home, while Tomlin comes off as a movie star. You want to listen to his speeches. You want to go to sleep when any of the other three guys talk. But again, the inconvenient truth is all those guys have won a playoff game more recently than him. Yeah, the thing that stood out to me above all others, and there were a lot of issues in this game, let's be honest. I mean, the Steelers' offensive tackles are not good. I keep hearing and reading all season that Dan Moore is going to be lined up for some huge payday in free agency.
When you think about businesses that are selling through the roof, like Alo, Allbirds, or Skims, sure, you think about a great product, a cool brand, and brilliant marketing. But an often overlooked secret is actually the businesses behind the business, making selling and for shoppers buying simple. For millions of businesses, that business is Shopify. Nobody does selling better than Shopify, home of the number one checkout on the planet and the not so secret secret with Shop Pay that boosts conversions up to 50%, meaning way less carts going abandoned and way more sales going. So if you're into growing your business, your commerce platform better be ready to sell whenever your customers are scrolling or strolling on the web, in your store, in their feed, and everywhere in between. Upgrade your business and get the same checkout experience as business powerhouses like Alo, Allbirds, and Skims. Sign up for your $1 per month trial period at shopify.com/odysseypodcast, all lowercase. Go to shopify.com/odysseypodcast to upgrade your selling today. shopify.com/odysseypodcast.
Football fans, do you want to hear the whole unadulterated truth about where your team stands?
It's the most embarrassing film I have ever watched in my entire life.
Former NFL lineman Mark Schlereth gives his perspective on the top storylines and games on a weekly basis on the Stinkin' Truth Podcast.
You may get out of here with two sacks and a tackle for loss, but you're getting out with a bloody nose.
New episodes drop every Monday and Thursday.
It's going to be a street fight.
Make sure to subscribe on the Odyssey app or wherever you find your podcasts.
See, do they still have film in the NFL? Can somebody watch his games? I mean, that could be problematic before you hand the guy $50 million.
Seems like he peaked about halfway through the season, maybe
against
earlier
lesser
than that.
Competition.
Yep.
Yeah. And then Broderick Jones is a disaster. I don't know what George Pickens was doing on the interception. I don't think Russell Wilson played well. You can't put the first fumble that he very luckily recovered was ridiculous. What is he doing? But a lot of this game, if I'm looking at it soberly, I also can't put all the blame on him. Chris Hoke said it very well on the post game with Pomp, with part-time Pomp on the KDK post game on television. He was getting pressure from both sides because neither one of his tackles could block, with Chris Jones out of the game, mind you. Although he's an interior rusher, and that was the other problem, is that they couldn't block up the middle. So Hokie was like, Russ is getting pinned from the outside and pressured up the middle, so he can't step up. That's problematic, which is why you saw some of those ugly Kenny Pickett-like reverse scrambles. And then on the interception in the end zone, immediately Nate Burleson, and I thought the announcing team was pretty good in that game for having been patched together at the last second. I thought they were good.
Nine Eagles, really good. Burleson had good points. The only issue was he does the same thing that Tom Brady does a little bit, which is he gets excited as the play's happening and starts like making sounds or whatever before Eagle finishes that.
And J.J. Watt was pretty good. But immediately Burleson, and they had the tape of it. I thought it was very well broken down. Said, wait a second, George Pickens, I think he needed to run to the end zone on that play and draw the safety over the guy who made the interception. And then you see Pickens just getting all upset over there. He didn't even run a route. He just ran a couple of yards. Like, listen, if there's any doubt, I'm blaming him for the play. Okay, let's just say that much. So all of that was problematic. Freiermuth put a ball on the ground for the second time in three games. You get him more involved in the offense. That's good. He fumbles again. That's bad. And then the defense was just horrific. T.J. Watt is still hurt. I'm convinced of that. He looks like a shell of himself. And they just ruined the Steelers' linebackers and secondary in coverage. No pass rush up front. And then just guys were just getting just toasted left and right. And like I said, it seemed to be 90% scheme. Just guys getting schemed open. It was a grotesque coaching mismatch on a short week. Steve Spagnuolo versus Artie Smith and Andy Reid versus Mike Tomlin's defense. No contest. 412-928-9370. We have many callers. We also have a 50-minute mark coming up, brought to you by South Hills Chrysler Jeep Dodge, Route 19, Peters Township. Celebrating 50 years in the South Hills. I'm going to take you to noon when we're going to get ready for a Pitt's bowl game with our coverage there. Fan hotline presented by Sullivan Super Service, providing trusted plumbing and HVAC service for over 50 years. Who do we got, Sean?
We will go to Patrick.
Hey, Patrick.
Hello, Jim. How are you today?
Good.
Well, you know, I'm going to spill some stuff and I'm going to do it really quick, okay? Mike Tomlin should have been fired 13 years ago. He needs to take the NFL PA.
Come on. Leave this guy. He went to the Super Bowl. What do you mean 13 years ago? What are you talking about? Let's try to have a reasonably intelligent conversation here. 13 years ago, he was coming off a Super Bowl year, and they went 12-4, and they were ravaged by injuries, and that was the Tebow game. So, come on. Let's have a conversation that at least starts out with, you know, you not undermining everything you're about to say. Do you agree with that, Sean?
Yeah.
Mike Tomlin's first 5 years here, which was included in 13 years ago, he was an A+. Mike Tomlin was an A+ for 5 years. Okay? And then since then, he's been about a C- to a C, somewhere in the C range. That's where he's been for a very long time. Next.
All right. Hopefully, John will be a little bit better.
Hi, John.
Hey, good morning, Joe. Belated Merry Christmas to you.
Likewise.
Wanted to weigh in on the Steelers playoff victory drought. I've had many conversations with our mutual friend Bill Varley on this topic.
Yeah.
And if you do some quick research, there are only, I believe, 8 other teams in the NFL that have a longer playoff victory drought than the Steelers. That basically puts us in the bottom quarter of the league in terms of playoff victory droughts. I mean, you know, we hear the term the standard is the standard all the time. What is the standard? It's basically being a hair above mediocrity. I mean, it really is ridiculous.
That's well said and quite reasonable. It's a hair above mediocrity. It really is. And here's a way to phrase it, too, and I appreciate the call. What's the bigger story? What's the more notable streak? What is it, 17, 18 years now without a losing season?
Right.
An 18-year non-losing streak, or 8 years maybe, if it happens again this year, 8 years without a playoff win. To me, it's the latter by far. By far. And again, that's not, see, if we're going to get right down to what the streak really is, it's not an 18-year winning streak, it's an 18-year non-losing streak. So if we're going to get to the other streak and really break it down to what it should be phrased as, it's not an 8-year playoff drought. It's an 8-year streak, maybe, if it happens this year, of not even being competitive in a playoff game. Not just losing. This outfit has not been competitive in a playoff game since 2016. You have people, I don't know, I think my first memory was when I was 6 years old, probably. Does that sound reasonable, Sean?
Yeah.
So you combine 6 with 8, and you have people who are in high school now who have no conscious memory of them actually seeing a competitive Steeler playoff game. Think about that, if you would. If the Steelers are not competitive in the first round again, like they weren't against Jacksonville, which was a blowout, the Steelers scored a touchdown. Unbelievably, by the way, Tomlin let the clock run down to where they scored a touchdown with 1 second left. Your only chance then is to pick up an onside kick and run with it for a touchdown. Don't you have to kick a field goal and then do an onside kick and try? The end of that game was butchered beyond belief. Yes, the game was pretty much over. I get it. But that game wasn't competitive. It was a 10-point game, and it was a 17-point game, and they were done. Was it 28-3 at one point? You know about Cleveland. You know about Kansas City, and you know about Buffalo. That's why they set a record. Tomlin's defense has set an NFL record most consecutive playoff games, giving up 40 points. So let's not give it the benefit of the doubt here of just being a playoff drought. Let's not lighten it by saying, oh yeah, the Steelers haven't won a playoff game in 7 years. No. They haven't been competitive in a playoff game in 7 years. Haven't been competitive in one. Next.
All right, let's go to Bob in Brackenridge.
Hey, Bob.
Just want to echo what people are saying. This is so frustrating living in this town. I remember the Chief and Dan. Second place was the first loser. Those were football guys, and they expected and demanded accountability in winning. You have an attorney owner now who's more worried about legal ramifications and a Rooney rule where he says, I can't believe people are upset because we are happy that we play meaningful games in December. That's not made up. Art Rooney said he's happy they played meaningful games in December. You say not competitive in the playoff game for 8 years. He has 3 playoff wins in 15 years. This is absolutely a joke. And if anybody says anything about Tomlin, we don't know what we're talking about. So when do we get tired of getting our butts whooped in the playoffs if you even do make it? And when is accountability going to land at the lap of the defensive guru who gets smoked every year when it matters by teams that know how to scheme and play? Said it earlier. That game yesterday was out-schemed. He literally said at halftime, we're not worried about schemes. We got to make plays. He's a stubborn guy. He does not know how to adapt. He does not know how to coach. When is enough enough? Or are we going to keep making excuses for this guy?
I mean, you will acknowledge this. Is he still there? You will acknowledge
yes,
this,
I
though,
am.
That while I agree with much of what you said there, it's hard to fire a coach. Let's say they win 11 games.
No, it's not.
It is.
No, it
is.
No, it's not.
It is.
No, it's not.
It is. Yeah, it is. It is hard to do that. How many 11-win coaches get fired?
Dan Rooney? Do you think Dan Rooney and the Chief would have 8 years of getting your butt smacked and three playoff wins in 15 years?
I mean, Dan Rooney extended Cowher after consecutive losing seasons. So, yeah, I do. I do actually think he would.
Consecutive losing seasons.
See, you leave no room for any discussion, even though I agree largely. Even though I agree, what if they win a playoff game?
The Rooney Rule has Tomlin in place. Fire him.
He's got one.
He's not adequate.
He's got one of the best records in the history of the league. So, right. So I think I know where you're coming from. Yeah, I think I know where he's coming from. There's obviously a discussion to be had here. And then the discussion is, if they win merely one playoff game, does that solve everybody's issues?
I mean, I would suppose if you somehow beat Buffalo or Baltimore, maybe, but I don't think people are going to be that excited if you go into Houston and win, because they would say that the Texans aren't that great of a team. I think it might depend on who you beat. I think if you go to Buffalo and win, then that's a big deal. That's that's the story in the entire NFL that weekend. If you go to Houston and win, I don't think that's a major accomplishment. Even though it is winning a playoff game, that's probably the easiest path that you would potentially have.
More calls coming up next. Can't wait. 412-928-9370. Fan weather brought to you by Sun Chevy. 0% financing on all 2024 Chevy EV models. Up to 60 months through January 3rd with credit through GM Financial. A mix of clouds and sun today, a high of 47. Fan hotline presented by Sullivan Super Service, providing trusted plumbing and HVAC service for over 50 years. The question is the standard here. I mean, when you make it sound like Mike Tomlin has done a horrendous job, or when you say he should have been fired 13 years ago after the Steelers went back to back 12-4 and went to a Super Bowl, that's ridiculous. By NFL standards, he's doing a job that would be good enough in probably 25 other cities, which is double-digit wins and about half the time getting to the playoffs. The question is it good enough here? So, to make him sound like he's done nothing and is doing nothing by NFL standards is just not factual. But is he adhering to the standard of this organization? Absolutely not. Absolutely not. And I'm getting to the point where I do think it's time to move on. It's just, it's not easy for me to say fire a guy who is succeeding by a lot of measures. You know what I mean? It is. It's not that easy. People want to make it easy. I sat across from Andrew Filippone here last week. We were debating. He was saying that winning the division, if they beat Baltimore, was good enough. That's a successful season. But he also said, well, you're saying it wouldn't be a successful season if they won the division and lost in the playoffs. Every year you say, is this the year for Tomlin? Is Tomlin on the hot seat? That's because it's complicated. It's not that simple. Andrew wanted to trade him to Washington 5 years ago. Maybe that was the best route to take. I don't know. It's not that easy of a situation for me.
I think a lot of fans would be fine with losing seasons here and there if it somehow translated to more postseason success or more great seasons.
Right. And Ron Cook, on his way out the door last year, wrote that it might be mutually beneficial. And I agreed with that. And there was talk this time last year of would it be best for everybody if Mike Tomlin moved on, including him. Meantime, other people will say you're sitting here at 10-6 headed to the playoffs. You know, again, 25 other markets might be very happy with that. So it's, at least to me, it's a more complicated conversation as I open the show with than listening to, you know, the Jason LaConforas of the world say this is an all-time legend and a, you know, a miracle worker. And then at the other end, you have people saying he should have been fired 13 years ago. There's a conversation to be had somewhere in between that, I guess is what I'm trying to say. Fan weather brought to you by Sun Chevy, 0% financing on all 2024 Chevy EV models. All right, we'll get to more of your calls, continue that conversation, do a little report card next on the Pomp and Joe Show. Somebody pointed out that teams have fired. I didn't say they never did. I said it's tough to just fire a coach who's getting double-digit wins and going to the playoffs, that there's a conversation to be had. It's not as easy as just get rid of him. Pointed out Marty Schottenheimer was an 11-win, actually a 14-win coach that got fired. Remember that? In 2006, they fired Schottenheimer at the height of the Tomlinson-Rivers era in then San Diego. They did. They fired him. After a 14-2 season, they got upset in the wild card game. I think I covered that game. I think that was the Jets game. And then the Jets came here and Doug Bryan missed field goals or Bill Cowher's team would have lost in the first round. So out goes Schottenheimer. In comes Norv Turner. And they got a little bump from Turner. They won a couple playoff games the next year, but they couldn't get past the Patriots, just like Schottenheimer. And since that move, the Chargers have won 5 playoff games in 20 years. And, of course, have famously only been to 1 Super Bowl where they got their doors blown off, and that was before those guys ever got there. So, yeah, they got a small bump from that, but, you know, they've never been where you want to go either. 5 playoff wins in 20 years and no trip to the Super Bowl for the Chargers. Listen, I'm still also giving this season a chance. I think I'd be foolish not to. They have a chance. He has a chance to regroup here, get healthy. I think they'll beat the Bengals in the final game, and then let's see if they can win a playoff game. And I do think it's a big deal. I think winning 1 playoff game would be a big blanking deal. There's no conversation on what's bigger, winning a division or winning a playoff game. That's not even a conversation. That's like I did good on my social studies test at the end of October, but I failed the final, or vice versa. I failed that one on, you know, the Gettysburg Address, that pop quiz on the Gettysburg Address back in October, but I aced the final, or at least one of my finals. You know, you could still fail after that, I suppose, in the divisional round of the championship game. I'm not predicting that, but I'm going to watch the rest of the season. I don't think necessarily the season's done. If I were to bet, however, right now, if I were to bet, are the Steelers going to win a playoff game? I would say no. How about you, Sean? If I told you I had to bet everything you own, including those beautiful headphones you have, whether the Steelers win a playoff game, would you bet they'd win or lose?
Not knowing the opponent. I'm going to say it's more likely they lose. That would be my bet.
All right, I'll give you opponents.
Okay.
Ravens on the road.
Lose.
Chargers. Well, no. Wait a second. Who are the prospective opponents?
Baltimore,
right,
Buffalo, and Houston, I believe. Because the Steelers... Well, I guess the Steelers could win the division still.
They could, even though the Browns have quit. And there's one guy on there who told me, stop harping on the Browns game. The Ravens lost to them, too. No, I'll never stop harping on that game. I don't care what the Ravens did. The Ravens made up for it, and now they're in first place. What are you talking about? Plus, they had that game won, and Kyle Hamilton dropped an easy interception right in his hands. But the real point is, that hasn't affected the Ravens, has it? It's affected the Steelers, and the Browns haven't won a game since. That was one of the worst losses of Mike Tomlin's career, because of the way he coached that game. And the decision The decision to have a frozen quarterback come in and throw a pass with the game on the line instead of your red-hot starter at the time was one of the most mind-boggling, ridiculous decisions in Tomlin's coaching history. So thank you, Jason, or whatever your name was, who tells me to stop harping on the Browns game. I might open every show with it for the next 365 days in your honor because it was that ridiculous. That team was ready to quit. They haven't won a game since. They're falling apart. Their quarterback got benched after that, after what he did to the Steelers that night. It was an unforgivable loss. So let's dedicate the rest of the show to him, shall we? Whoever that guy was.
What was his name? Jason or something?
I don't know what his name was. Merry day after Christmas, although it's rather depressing right now in the sports world. Fan Twitter. Brought to you by South Hills Kia, Peters Township. Visit them at southhillskia.net. Text line brought to you by Edgar Snyder & Associates, personal injury law firm, where they always say there's never a fee unless we get money for you. Listen to this show every Wednesday to hear about Starkey's Card of the Week from the Baseball Card Castle in Cranberry. Contests run every Wednesday through Friday at noon at the 93.7thefan.com contesting page. Did anybody find that Skeens card? Was it under anybody's tree yesterday? Have you seen a story?
It wasn't under my tree. No, I haven't seen anything about that yet. Maybe it's they don't want the public to know because they would be hounded by people coming. It's like if you win the, you know, $1 billion lottery, sometimes you kind of
play it cool. Somebody must know. Something just seems off with this whole thing. You know what I mean? Like, so everybody got bought all these packs of cards on the idea that it wasn't found yet, and now it's still not found on Christmas. And shouldn't we know not who found it, but if it was found, so we don't continue to buy up packs looking for it? Sean?
Yeah, I'm looking now, and I don't see. I guess there are some other big Skeens cards that have been pulled, but not the elusive one. Doesn't look like anyone has.
Let's hit the phones,
yet.
Please.
All right, we'll go out to Connellsville to hear from Chris.
Hey, Chris, what's up?
Hey, guys, how are you doing today?
Good.
So, two takeaways I've seen from yesterday's game was, one, George Pickens is really starting to remind me of Antonio Brown. You know, he's getting upset. He's not getting the ball. Ripping his helmet off. You know, if Bill Carr was coached still, he'd got pulled out of that game quick.
Here's what I would say to that. You're right. Well, I don't know if Bill Cowher was. Come on, Bill Cowher had his own problems and appeased players left and right, like Plaxico Burress, who was late to meetings all the time. So I'm not going with that comparison. But George Pickens, that act is getting real tired. That act is getting really tired. And here's what I would say: is that his obvious importance, which was accentuated the past couple weeks, might only make that worse. Might make it worse, but go ahead with your second point.
So the other thing I noticed was I haven't been to a home game in a long time where the crowd got taken out in the third quarter like that, where you could definitely hear Mahomes' cadence every snap.
Yeah.
That was crazy.
Man, I'll say, I think people were filing out by Renegade. Maybe a better choice at that point would have been Silent Night, Sean.
Did you hear? I think it was our colleague Jack Hillgrove maybe that asked Tomlin the question about, you know, was that something that anyone noticed that all the fans were filing out in the fourth quarter? And of course he said no, we were focused on what was happening on the field or whatever. But yeah, that was a rare sight for a Steelers game to have people pretty much know the entire fourth quarter was inconsequential.
It was a really, really bad day in that stadium. One of the worst, I would say. You know, not the worst, but one of the worst in the regular season in terms of just sheer frustration, sheer depression, you know, the realization. You know what it reminded me of was the 49ers game. Was it last year at the beginning
of the year? That was the season opener last year, yep.
Because it just showed you, oh, we're not that.
Yeah, all that right off the top. Optimism quickly went out the door after that game.
Right off the top, the heavyweight or one of the heavyweight contenders let you know you could go on to win 9-10 games, whatever you want to do this season, you ain't us. And the Chiefs let the Steelers know that, you know, yesterday. It was such a grotesque mismatch. What else was unusual besides the crowd filing out was people piping up after the game. Let's listen to a little bit of Deshaun Elliott. You got your beeps ready, Sean?
Yeah, we'll get the sensors out, but let's find Deshaun Elliott here. There was a lot of very interesting comments, I would say. He had one of them, so here we go.
First off, guys can't be f***ing wide open. That's the first thing. Just do your job, you know? We communicated, guys just weren't doing their freaking job. So, let's get back to the drawing board. It's week 18. We shouldn't be having these problems in week 18. This is a week one, week two problem. So I don't know where we went down the line, started becoming a whole different defense than what we were, but we got to get back to who we are.
Like I said, last week, I'll partially overlook it because I think any team, if you take out three quarters of their secondary, a starting defensive lineman and their star linebacker is at half speed, you're going to have problems against Lamar Jackson. But man, they were back. These guys were back and on the field. Although TJ didn't look like himself again, did he? If he's not right for the playoffs, a team that's already in big trouble has no chance. Do you agree with that?
Yeah, and you brought up the point a couple days ago how it was kind of weird how the Steelers deployed some guys who were banged up against Baltimore, not others who maybe could have played. You have to wonder if that was maybe to the detriment of TJ Watt playing in that game, and would they have been better off just having him sit these two games?
Yes.
I know you think if we win against Baltimore, we can then...
Right.
But it didn't play out like that, and it backfired.
I think Tomlin wanted to have it both ways. It would be like if you... I don't know what the analogy is. What's the analogy to
have your cake and eat it too?
Have your cake and eat it too. Is it lottery tickets? If you bought a couple? I don't know what it is, but... He wanted to have his hand in both piles. He wanted to play TJ in that game and put Joey Porter, and obviously injured Joey Porter went back in that game, while he was simultaneously clearly saving guys for this game. Obviously, if that Baltimore game had been a playoff game, I think a lot of these guys would have played, including Pickens. I think Tomlin held off. I think his philosophy was, I'm going to give myself a decent chance to win both, or either, instead of the best chance, putting all his eggs in one basket. He put 6 in one basket and 4 in the other. I mean, 12 in the other. I mean, 6 in the other to add up for 12.
He got Easter and Christmas confused, I guess.
Yeah, it's clearly so did I in that case.
If they had played everyone, Pickens, Elliott, and I do believe those guys were nowhere close to 100%. So you understand why, you know, maybe they said, well, this guy's slightly more at risk for re-aggravation than maybe TJ Watt was, for instance. But if you find a way to get everyone in that Baltimore game and win it, then you have the luxury that right. You don't have to worry about playing these guys against the Chiefs, because for all intents and purposes, that game has much less meaning.
Yeah.
And now you have to have everyone all hands on deck for this upcoming game. There was talk a few weeks ago, well, they could rest against Cincinnati if things play out well. Not the case.
Well, that's an interesting question, too, Sean. Don't call me Seth Meyers. I mean, what are the odds that they win and Cleveland loses? Do you now just rest guys?
I think the difference is...
Who are clearly injured?
It's not just about the Ravens at this point, though, right? Because you could drop down, depending on what the Chargers and Broncos do, into a matchup where you head to Buffalo. I think you want to keep that number five spot.
But keep that five spot at what cost? See, I don't know. I don't know what's happening with TJ. I don't. But every single person listening to this show, and you and I know that is not him. A guy getting single blocked by anybody. You saw him in the Philly game getting single blocked sometimes by one of the best tackles in football. And he destroyed the guy. So please don't tell me that we think he's anywhere near full strength. Now, I just don't know what. Does rest do him a lot of good at this point? Or is it the type of thing where, listen, you're injured, this injury won't get worse, but it also won't get better with rest, that type of thing? I don't know, man. But with TJ Watt looking like a mortal, I don't think they have much of a shot to beat anybody, to be honest with you. He's that important.
Yeah, and I don't know if you want to hear Patrick Queen, too. He had a clip.
And
that
well, that's the other part of that. Deshaun Elliott was, you know, again, last week you have all these moving parts. You could sort of see why they'd be disorganized at times. Not so this week. This was a disaster And I'm not even sure, you know, how much of it was player malfunction and how much was players not being adequately prepared by their coaches. I think that's a pretty good question. But it was a disaster from the jump. Let's hear Patrick Queen. And Cam Sutton's not very good.
Did you see my fly today?
Yep.
What's the explanation for that?
No explanation. It came off late.
How do you kind of explain just the slump you guys have been in as a defense, especially the last 3 weeks?
Can't explain it. It's happening. And we keep talking about it and nobody doing anything about it. So I don't know.
How frustrating is it that it feels like nobody's doing anything about it?
It's frustrating.
I don't think he's lived up to his billing either, to be honest. Patrick Queen's been okay. He's had some really good moments. The first Ravens game, he made some big plays. He's been a disappointment, a mild disappointment. Would you agree with that?
Yeah, and I think, what was it, Rob Long that raised the question, what big plays has he made? He's making tackles, but is he making big plays? And that was a game yesterday where the Steelers desperately needed a big play. And correct me if I'm wrong, he was the player who dropped what could have been a massive interception that could have swung the game, right?
Yes.
I mean, they get that interception, maybe the game turns out different. Maybe not. Who knows? But the Steelers did run the football well. You got the feeling.
I got the feeling that Kansas City was in rope-a-dope mode where, yeah, if you want to gain some yards on the ground, go ahead. Plus, I would argue this, Sean. They got like 60 yards on the ground on that last meaningless drive. That's when Najee did all his work, right?
Is it fair to say in a game against a team like Kansas City, the Steelers probably have to either have the lead early or at least be on even terms?
Yes.
Because the second that they fall behind by multiple scores, I don't think this team's going to have it to come back, even with George Pickens playing against good teams.
Or sort of playing like he was yesterday. Here's the other thing. Jaylen Warren's the best running back on this team and needs to get the ball, period. It's time for Jaylen Warren to have a 20-25 carry game and to be treated like he's a number one running back because that's what he is on this team. Najee, for a lot of the game yesterday, looked painfully slow, unable to elude even one defender. I remember in particular a pass down by the goal line, quick swing pass. Dan Moore didn't have a great block, but you got one guy to beat and he tackles you. He just looked really slow. Jaylen Warren's the best running back on this team, and they need to go into a game determined to feed him the ball 20 to 25 times. Agree or disagree?
They're more determined to get Cordarrelle Patterson a random third down carry.
Oh, third and two. The Artie infatuation with Cordarrelle Patterson is just mind-blowing. And I know he made a great catch last week, but come on, Artie. Here's a stat for you. The Steelers have played 8 times against teams currently in playoff position. Atlanta, Denver, the Chargers, Washington, Baltimore twice, Philly and Kansas City. What are they averaging points per game? I'll tell you when we come back, Sean.
That's a great tease.
Yeah, this one, I'll just say this. It's the type of number that got Matt Canada fired. So, you know, kind of like Indiana in college football, except this isn't college football. You best judge a team on who they are when they're playing other good people, as Mike Tomlin likes to say. And he said on this Netflix thing about 8,000 times, we love to play good people. I'd rather play bad people and take my chances in the playoffs because I'm not sure the Steelers are one of the good peoples here. They seem to be a slightly above mediocre people in the NFL. All right. 50-minute mark coming up, brought to you by South Hills Chrysler Jeep Dodge Route 19, Peters Township, celebrating 50 years in the South Hills. I'm taking you right up to just before noon when we get ready for Pitt's bowl game. Going to be moving aside for our pregame, the game above Sports Bowl, Pitt-Toledo coming up. We're going to be getting you ready for that starting at noon. Fan Hotline presented by Sullivan Super Service, Pittsburgh's trusted plumbing and HVAC provider for over 50 years. Fan Weather brought to you by Sun Chevy, 0% financing all 2024 Chevy EV models up to 60 months through January 3rd with credit through GM Financial. Mix of clouds and sun today? I hope some sun. A high of 47. All right, I'll go through the grades very quickly, if that's what you'd like me to do. I'll follow along with Ray Fittipaldo, and you may too. Quarterback, Russell Wilson, ill-timed turnovers, blah, blah, blah. He gets an F. We got to go quick.
D.
I'll say, yeah, D plus. Some of it was on him. A lot of it's not. His offensive line stinks. By the way, Omar Khan apparently has done a lousy job fortifying two areas we all knew were issues coming into the season. Receiver and secondary. Deshaun Elliott, very good. Corners, not so much. Cam Sutton, not so much. Dante Jackson, nice with the interceptions, but when they play good teams, there seems to be some issues. Running backs, a C.
B minus.
I don't know. What did they actually? Najee was a little slow. Yeah, I'll go B. I'll go B minus. They didn't have much room. Well, no, they did have room. Jaylen Warren was really good. He needs more carries. Receivers, C.
I would go even lower than that. Yeah. C minus.
Yeah, I'd go C minus. I mean, Pickens may have caused an interception if you believe what people like Nate Burleson said. And T.O., did you see Terrell Owens accused him of that too? Not running his route there on that pick and therefore not drawing the safety over. Freiermuth, another fumble. Good to target him, but you can't be fumbling twice in three games. Offensive line, F.
F.
Defensive line, D.
Yeah, I would go with a D as well.
I mean, I would go with a D minus. They stunk. Linebackers, D. I go F.
I would say maybe they were the best part of the defense, if that counts for anything. Yeah, I would say D.
Who in particular? I'm curious to hear this. I thought they were horrible in coverage, too. Mostly in coverage.
Yeah, they weren't great. I always like Peyton Wilson. Every time he's out there, he had four tackles. Maybe
he got smoked in coverage now and again.
Yeah, too. If you find a way to maybe give him some more snaps, we knew that Watt probably wasn't going to be his best, and certainly he wasn't.
Yeah, man, I'm going F there. Secondary, is there something lower than an F? I'll
yeah,
go
that's,
Z.
There was guys wide open so frequently in that game, just complete breakdowns. It wasn't like they were just, you know, missing the ball or having guys go up over them. They weren't even covering guys open in the end zone.
Special teams, a D. Ray points out, I think wisely, time for Danny Smith to replace Cordero Patterson. I would say time for Mike Tomlin to step in and replace Cordero Patterson as a kick returner. This whole thing ain't working, okay, with Cordero Patterson. He made a nice catch last week. He did. But this whole thing ain't working. His two returns were for 41 yards total, and they started from the 23 on both drives. Come on.
Boz even got a little lucky, right? That
he
penalty
did.
Negated
yeah.
What was probably going to be a miss. So, yeah, special teams weren't nearly good enough.
And coaching an F, and, yeah, that's where I started the shows. What jumped out to me yesterday was four guys on a very short week, all preparing for the third game in 11 days. Andy Reid, Mike Tomlin, Steve Spagnuolo, Artie Smith. And, man, it was a disaster. And it was a grotesque coaching mismatch.
Not only is it an F, but they went for it on 4th and 20 when it was down 3 scores. You needed a field goal to get back in the game.
Well, why
they
not
didn't
a field
go
goal?
They didn't go for it on 4th and 2, but then they kept some key defensive guys in after they punted and kind of waved the white flag.
Yeah. I mean, I'm just talking general scheme and they got crushed. You could tell they were well scouted in just that minimal amount of time. Guys schemed open on so many plays for Kansas City right off the snap, wide open, had the Steelers confused, Burleson said, with pre-snap motions, misdirection. The misdirection play at the goal line was beautiful. Just a mismatch. One team looks to be gearing up for another Super Bowl run. The other one gearing down for another first-round playoff loss. That's the way it looks. Things can change fast. I'm gone for a week. I'll talk to you next week. Sean, don't call me Seth Meyers.
Enjoy your time
away.
Happy New Year. Coming up next, Pitt Bowl game as the Panthers go against the Toledo Rockets in the Game Above Sports Bowl in Detroit. Kickoff is 2, but our coverage begins in 10 minutes right here on 93.7 The Fan. Later tonight, Seahawks, Bears for Thursday Night Football, 8:15 kick. Westwood One coverage begins at 7:30. Headlines powered by Bowser Genesis of Monrovia. For more, check out 93.7thefan.com.